Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. This is the text. All three of our readings this morning speak of wisdom. Solomon asked for a wise and discerning mind so that he would recognize good from evil and govern the people under his authority in a way that would be of benefit to them. After all, having authority means having the burden of doing what is best for those who are under your authority. St. Paul speaks of wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of God's eternal will. This comes solely by his grace. It is revealed according to his purpose. It is a gift. It is a byproduct of faith. Having faith is to fear, love, and trust in God. The psalmist says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Luke tells us that the child Jesus grew and was filled with wisdom. Of course he was filled with wisdom. He is God, after all. And he amazed the teachers of the law who were listening to him. And they were amazed at his wisdom, because where does wisdom come from? It comes from God. And it comes from listening to God, which they were privileged to do, even though they didn't know it. We are privileged to listen to God. It is a gift. The wisdom we have, it comes by the grace of God. It is given, and it needs to be cherished. What more could we ask than to have the word of God spoken to us? Wisdom does not come naturally pouring out of your heart. Our self-centered, it's all about me world. We hear it again and again. Oh, you need to listen to your heart. No, don't do that. I know when I listen to my heart, I end up sinning because that's what my heart tells me to do. Especially in regard to spiritual matters, don't listen to your heart unless you first tell your heart to listen to the Word of God. This means that your heart needs to be actively involved with the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, participating with the Word of God. Otherwise, when you listen to your heart, you're just listening to your own sinful self. Wisdom is a gift from God, and our sinful heart wants nothing to do with it. Your sinful heart wants you to think about what is best for you. This is not the wisdom of Solomon. This is not exercising the authority we have been given for the benefit of those who are under our authority. Your heart wants your life to be easy for you. Satan wants to give you an easy button. He tried the same thing with Jesus, but there is no easy shortcut, not to our salvation. Redemption would only come through the shedding of his blood. That was not easy. Wisdom tells us that the good things in life are not easy. Jesus himself tells us that the broad and easy road leads where? To destruction. We are to enter through the narrow gate. The narrow gate is not easy. Faith in Christ is not easy. Bearing the cross, by definition, is not easy. raising children is not easy. But the truly good things in life, they're never easy. Whenever we seek to make things easy, we end up failing. We look around at our increasingly full schedules, and I'm as guilty of this as anyone, and our culture has developed the outsourcing of important and difficult things. And some of this is good. I am so glad that I don't have to go out and cut firewood this week in order to heat my home. I appreciate that we have outsourced the heating of our homes to other people. But some of the outsourcing that we have done is very destructive to the family and even more to the faith of the family. I mean, talk about the raising children not being easy. But look at what our society has done over the last few generations in regard to raising them. What all we have outsourced, the intellectual formation of our children is now outsourced to schools. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have schools, but how many parents still take the time to regularly discuss historical events, especially events that affect the church, or even the news of the day and how it affects our lives? For athletic development, we send them off to Little League, soccer practice, volleyball at the CYO. Now, this is not bad in and of itself. I've coached CYO volleyball for 4 years. There's a lot of good things that happen in programs like that. Sports and competition, they teach good lessons very often. But how often do we see where parent-child interaction doesn't really happen outside of the dropping off and picking up? Far too often, that is just outsourced. For spiritual formation, children are sent to Sunday school, vacation Bible school, youth group. Again, the programs aren't the problem. The issue is that parents, fathers in particular, because we are the ones who God has said he is going to hold ultimately accountable if children are not raised with the word of God before their eyes. We see far too often that children are not being raised up within the church. That is, fathers, mothers, guardians, worshiping with them, teaching them the liturgy, teaching them the word of God, teaching them the catechism, praying with them, speaking in your homes about what it is that Christ has done. No, this is not an easy thing to do. And sometimes it will bring up questions that you don't know that you're prepared to answer, which is why you yourself need to be in the catechism and in the word of God. And sometimes even when this is faithfully done, the word is not heard. However, if we just say, oh, we're just going to outsource this part of our formation of this, the spirituality of our child, the typical lesson or that has been learned, especially in recent times, is that giving attention to God becomes learned as a part-time issue at best. And that we only need to really, worry about him every now and then. Worshiping God has been made easy. Show up to church every now and then, have the kids participate in a few activities. Bearing the cross becomes no burden at all. Wisdom should tell us that a cross that is not a burden is not a cross. All parents and guardians, fathers in particular, because again, you are the ones who will be held accountable, you all have the burden of authority to hold the word of God before the eyes of those under your authority and show them that this is important. You can't force anyone to come to faith, but your vocation as a person with authority, it is to be a faithful witness of the forgiveness and grace of God. When we outsource the task of bearing witness of God, this is not done in the spirit of wisdom. Christ died for them. God loves them dearly, as we just sang. So dearly that he was willing to do that which was not easy. If all that we do is make sure we send our kids to good schools and youth programs in and outside of the church, yes, we will help to form good children who have solid moral centers. And history shows that most of them will retain at least some sort of vague idea or happy concept of God. However, we have seen the fruits of this experiment as the majority of these good moral children have little or no interest in taking up the cross and following Jesus. They might show up for the children's Christmas program because it reminds them of their youth, or because this is what good moral children or good moral people do. They might send their own kids to vacation Bible school because this is what good moral people have been taught to do. But they have rejected the adoption of their baptism. They have forgotten the cost of the blood of Christ that redeemed them. Up until recent days, I truly thought in my heart, which was part of the problem, that today's young people would be like previous generations. Many of them would meander away from Christ and his church for a while, and then come back when they established their own family or acquired some wisdom. But I have to say, and in light of some recent events in my own life, I am growingly convinced that they will not come back on their own. And really, I see the foolishness of the imagination of my heart. It's a false premise to begin with, thinking they will come back on their own, because lost sheep never go out looking for the shepherd. Now, this doesn't mean that there's no hope. I pray that those in my life and your life who are in this circumstance, that they will come back. But it is a reminder that hearts will not be changed unless the Word of God is actively involved with those hearts. What saddens me is that, like you, I have so many friends and family who do not trust in the redemption through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins, the riches of his grace. If they did, they would be regularly joining with angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven around the broken body and shed blood of Christ our Lord, here or at another gathering of the saints. But they are not gathering with the saints. Thankfully, it is not my job to do the sorting on the last day. However, it has become increasingly clear that the majority of our current generation, even if they or their family, you know, may think that they are not a part of the company of saints. If the Word of God is distant from them, or they have dismissed it as being something that isn't worthy of their time. And it frightens me. And it saddens me. You have no idea how hard it was to write this sermon this week. Because I think of all the people in my life, and Christ died for them. He went to the cross for them. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is a gift from God. cherish that gift you have been given. And as Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.